Also, what we want to study today, in honor, of course, of the three-week period, which is a period of Avelus for Churban Abayis, what we call Avelus Yeshana, let's take a little of that time to study the concept of Zecher L'Churban, which means that when a person builds a house, he should designate a certain area, we'll have to figure out when and how, called Zecher, for the purpose of Zecher L'Churban, to remind himself of the Churban. And the source for this halach of Zecher L'Churban is a Gemara in the third parak of Bava Basra. And there are three brisos quoted here in the sugya in Bava Basra. The first one is Ein Mesaidin V'Ein Mechairin V'Ein Mefaichin Bizman Hazeh. Now, there are a few words here that I do understand. I understand the word ein.
Okay, that was meaning, yes.
I understand bizman hazeh, which means since the Churban. The rest of it I really don't understand. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, ein misaidin bayis mishum ovel beis hamikdash, meaning avelus of the beis hamikdash. So Rashi doesn't tell us exactly what misaidin means. It's obviously a verb, the noun of which is sid. And Rashi says that the reason for this prohibition, as formulated here by this brisa, is because of avelus of base hamikdash. Okay, so let's, for the meantime, leave this question in abeyance. What exactly is Ein Mesaidin? Then we have Ein Mechairin. Rashi says Ein Mechairin Tsuros Shetzar Besid. In other words, while the sid is drying and hardening, it's very easy, if you're artistic, to create in the sid itself various tsiyurim. And these tsiyurim are probably not so profound, because again, they're indented in the sid, if you know what I mean. But then it says, Ein Mefaichin, Rashi says, Tsuros Shalmine Tzivonim. And I get the impression here, tell me if you agree with me, that Rashi thinks that this Iser relates to real artwork. I don't know if you're familiar with the word affresco. You know, in New York City, there's a museum that's full of these frescoes. Try to remember the name of the museum. It's on Fifth Avenue. What's it called?
The Frick
Museum, correct. If you go in the Frick Museum, which was owned by some sort of millionaire, and he died without any heirs, and he left it as a gift to the city of New York, you will see that he had professional artists come and paint paintings on the walls, and each room has its own paintings. But you'll see this in museums throughout the world. You don't have to go to the Frick Museum in Manhattan. So all these are prohibited by virtue of the first brisa. We'll see how the second brisa and the third brisa come into play. And bizman hazeh, meaning after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And if you want to just jump forward, fast forward for a second, we'll come back to Bava Basra just momentarily. The Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tainios, which is dedicated to the all the observances that are Zecher L'Churban, the Rambam writes in Halacha Yud Beis Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, Tiknu Chachomim Shehayu Bioso Hadar She'ein Bonim Li'olam Binyan Misuyad U'mechuyar Kibinyan HaMalachim. The Rambam says that a building made of sid, which is mesuyad, or a building that has these frescoes on it, was a beautiful palace of a king. And it's interesting that the Rambam adds that, because we don't have that in our Gemara. What we do have is a churban, but we don't necessarily identify Sid in the Gemara as a binyan malachim. And I'm tempted to think, which I want to investigate with you today, that the Rama might be lenient in a case where standard construction would be that of Sid. Meaning if every single citizen who builds in that area for a domicile, a home for himself, builds it with Sid, it's no longer kibinyan amalachim. Meaning the Rambam is adding an inherent condition here. He's not saying in an absolute way that you can't build with Sid. He's saying if you build with Sid in a way that is kibinyan amalachim, then it's prohibited. Not only that, the Rambam might be mekil in another sense, because notice the Rambam has the word mechuyar with a vav. Now, again, in the Braisa that we studied, the Braisa is talking about a verb, you know, what you're not allowed to do when you're building your house. The Rambam is not using a verb here. He's using an adjective to describe the building. And he says the building is mesuyad u'mechuyar, which might mean that the vav of the word u'mechuyar, according to the Rambam, is what we call the vav hamachaber, not a vav hamachalik. Right? A vav hamachalik is like an O, in which case the Braisa would kick in and say that this or this is prohibited. So even if you had a building, a house or a structure that was built with cement and not with Sid, nevertheless you would not be allowed to paint paintings on it. Because Ein Mechayrim, it says in the Braisa, Ein Mechayrim. But if the Rambam is saying that what kind of building are we enjoined from building, it's got to be a building that's Mesuyad U'mechuyar. And if that Vav is a Vav HaMechaber, it means it's got to be A plus B. If it would be one without the other, then it might be okay. And for that, we really have to analyze this very, very long Kesef Mishnah here that starts on the right side, right column, goes all the way through the left column. That's what we have.
Is Michael, because the Beraisa forbids me from being Mechayer, but maybe if I buy it, which is already Mechuyar, like the Rambam.
Okay, that could be true, that the Rambam is only saying that it's us to build such a house, but maybe if it's already been built and you're buying it secondhand, maybe the Rambam would be okay. So you might have actually three different kulos in the Rambam. Number one, the Rambam might say it's only us if it's kibinyan amalachim, which could shift from time to time, place to place. Number two, the Rambam might only aser it if it's both mesuyad and mechuyar. And number three, the Rambam is talking about binyan, the actual bonim. Maybe if you bought it secondhand, the Rambam would be making. Those are the three possible kulos before we see the Kesef Mishnah.
But now, what about buying and building? You're saying that the Gemara is not, would say that you could not buy a house which is already completed?
I don't know. I mean, for that, Joe, we're going to have to see the three brisos. We only saw some for one of the brisos. But I'm just pointing out that the Rambam formulates the final codes as Ein Bonim. Maybe you could buy it secondhand. Meaning, yeah. What is the Easter? Is the Easter living in the house? Is the Easter building the house? If you would have asked me in the middle of the night, my knee-jerk response would be living in the house. You know, to live in such a beautiful house, which is the, you know, the least reminiscent of the Churban. You haven't indicated that, you know, buddy, life has drastically changed for the Jewish people. You know, our people who have been sent into Golus, they are Avadim Ushvachos, they've been massacred, and you go on and you live in this beautiful, beautiful home. Maybe that would be the Easter, but the Rambam seems to emphasize the binyan itself, the act of building. If the Rambam was talking in Hilchos Shabbos and he wrote Ein Bonim v'Shabbos, I would understand very well. The act of building is what's usher in one of the 39 malachos. But when we're talking about Zecher l'Churban, I find it a little bit revolutionary to assume that the Easter is reduced to the binyan itself, the actual Biniyah, as we call it here in Israel. In any event, what I'd like to do now is go back to the Gemara Baba Basra that we began with and take a look at the second Braisa. The second Braisa, which is the first of your wide line, says Tanra Banan Lo Yisod Adam Es Beso Besid. Here the emphasis seems to be shifting on the action itself. V'im Irev Bochol Oteven Mutar. Interesting. It's not the Heft of Sid that's Asur. It's the pure Sid, meaning if you have no recognition or remembrance of the Churban HaBayis, that's prohibited. Sid is on a very high level. You know, it's one level above tit, above concrete. And if your Sid has nothing in it that indicates, hey, buddy, we're living in the post-Churban period, it's awesome. But if you can add something, it's kind of, I'll give you an example. Again, I don't know if it's a fair example. At a chasana, we put ashes on the head of the chasan. Now, who are you fooling? The chasan looks absolutely stunning. You know, he's wearing his finest. I don't know if he's wearing tux or whatever he's wearing. You know, he's got maybe a flower here and who knows what else. And you put a couple of pieces of ashes on his head. But that's not the point. The point is we need what's called a zecha l'churban. So what did he do with his sid in the second brisa? He mixed into the sid chol oteven. Chol is, I believe, sand. And teven is straw. And if you take a look at the Rambam says nothing about adding this mixture. He just simply says, "Ein bonim liolden binyan misuyah mechuyar." I don't know where the Rambam, why the Rambam decided to codify the first brisa and leave out the second brisa. Also, in terms of the idea in the second brisa of mixing chol and teven, I'm not sure if what the Rambam, excuse me, if what the brisa is saying is that this is going to impact on the whiteness of sid. Now, again, you and I may think, I don't know, that white is a very boring color. It's not so exciting. But yet, classically, white was indicative of wealth, of royalty, and there are plenty of places in the world where even today you'll see the most beautiful mansions that are painted in absolute white. Again, it seems like such a boring kind of painting, but yet there's something royal about it. In certain countries, they paint in white simply because of the heat factor, because, you know, darker colors will retain heat, but there's still a vestige, even in our time, of the special significance of white as a color that represents royalty. The palaces of the kings were painted white, and that's sid. So I'm not sure how to learn this brisa. Does the brisa mean to say that he added enough straw and sand to dilute, that's not a good word, to diminish the brightness of the white color? Or, I don't need to change the color of the white. As long as I added straw, as long as I added sand, that's enough to do it. That already creates a zecher l'churban. I don't have to be concerned anymore about the way the house looks and its outward appearance. Again, you may have to ask me the question, well, is the Iser here the building, or is the Iser living in the building? If the Iser is the living in this beautiful structure that's pure white, then the fact that in the original act of B'niyah I added a couple of grains of salt or sand, I should say not salt but sand, that doesn't prove a thing, because it looks like the most beautiful palace in the... But if on the other hand, the way the Rambam says it, then the Braisa also seems to indicate we're talking about the act of creating this structure. In the construction, when you add even a minimum amount, not there's no minimum shear here, of chol or teven, you've already been mekayim the zecher l'churban. And Rabosa, you know what, I tend to think, again, I just thought of this now, so this is not, you know, don't pounce on me, but maybe the whole issue really revolves around the following. What is the nature of Zecher L'Churban? Is it a mitzvah or is it an isur? What do I mean? It says, Imeshkachet Yerushalayim Tishkach Yimini. You know, we're talking about Shichacha. Shichacha is a prohibition. You're not allowed to forget Yerushalayim. You will be punished, Chas V'Shalom, if you forget Yerushalayim. There are people who think that we've created great citadels of Orthodox Torah Judaism. We don't need Yerushalayim anymore. They say that at the time, before the Holocaust, there were Jews who called Berlin Yerushalayim. I don't know if you ever heard that.
Yeah, sure.
So that's the problem. That's a terrible avera. That's in Mishkachech Yerushalayim. That's Shichacha. But there's another way of learning Zecha L'Churban. Zecha L'Churban is a kiyum mitzvah. Put yourself into the thinking process of what the Churban HaBayis and what the Beis HaMikdash was all about. We find over and over again that the Halacha tries to put us into a mental state of Beis HaMikdash. We on Leil HaSeder, we're going to eat the Korech. In Sfiras Omer, we're going to continue counting the Sfira. Possibly even Ner Chanukah is to remind us of the glorious menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. There are many occasions which Chazal want to put us into that mode of Beis HaMikdash. On Sukkot, we surround the Mizbeach, in quotation marks, seven times, you know, every day for each day of Chol HaMoed, in order to put us into the mode of Beis HaMikdash. So this concept of remembering the Mikdash has two sides to it. It could be that from the perspective of Imesh Kachek, you know, I cannot Chas Shom forget the Mikdash, I need to be constantly reminded. And therefore I have to live in a house that looks different. It's not the most beautiful, perfect structure that I paid my contractors to build. But if on the other hand we're talking about a zecher l'churban, meaning not that you have to constantly be reminded of the churban in order to avoid an isur shichacha, but rather a kiyum of zecher, then it could very well be that the binyan and the way I mix my sieve and build and paint my house, that's really the focal point. Because at that moment in time, by changing my sieve, I have clinched, I have achieved that kiyum mitzvah of remembering the churban. That's the second brisa. And now we get to the third brisa. The third brisa, you have to fast forward to the end of the page.
So which one would constitute mitzvah and which one would constitute isur?
What I'm suggesting is that if it's just a mitzvah of zecher, maybe just having some impact on the b'niyah, that's enough to create a zecher. That zecher doesn't have to be continuous. But if on the other hand, we're worried about violating the isur shichacha, that's what zecher l'churban is, then that's a constant remembrance. You know, we always have to remember the Mikdash and its destruction. I mean, Moshe Lamadov, again, I'm not trying to compare them, but if I were to remember Amalek one time in my life, would that be enough? And the Gemara thinks yes. The Gemara says no. Why? Because it says Lo Tishka. If it would have just said Zachar Es Asher Solomon, so one, you know, on his bar mitzvah day, he remembers Amalek and Fartik, that's it, he's over. He was Mekayim the mitzvah, let him go home. There's no time-bound mitzvah here in Zechiras Hamolek. But since the Torah adds Lo Tishkach, the Gemara adds, well, what's the shear of Shichacha? What is a constant reminder that would allow me to avoid violating the Isur of Lo Tishkach? Whether it's once a year, because Kadesh Shichacha is 12 months, and so forth. But now, Rabosa, without further ado, I want to see the third rice, and then Yechiel, I'll come right back to you. I just want to get the picture. The third brisa is a quote of Rabbi Yoshua. Again, you won't see that because the Gemara goes through, you know, different havaminas and so forth, but the final maskana is, in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, Sad Adam es beso besid u'meshayer bo dover muat. Wow! He's allowed to make his house entirely of sid. Forget about adding, you know, into the mixture of the sid, you know, the tevin and the afar and the chol, excuse me. What we need is l'shayer bo dover mu'ot. Leave a certain small circumscribed area without sin. V'kama, okay, it's got to be noticeable. Amar Rav Yosef. Excuse me. Amal. An amal amal is a pretty significant area. You know, you could have said a tefach al tefach. You know, a tefach would be a fraction of an amal. But no, you need an amal. And if I'm not mistaken, an amal is approximately 2 feet. I mean, there are those who say it's 18 inches, some say it's 22 inches, some say 24. I mean, you got every shita in the books, you know, and it's noget to tzitzis and to many, many other halachas. But with regard to this halacha, says Rav Yosef, you need a significant... Now, significance means that it should catch the eye. And here I submit to you that we're talking about an Isur Shichacha of Imesh Kachech Yushalayim, meaning I have to enter into the house and boom, you know what's going to hit me? Zecha L'Churma. It's not enough that I created the house and I made myself a note, you know, not to use pure unadulterated sin, but to add a little bit of chol or a little bit of tevin. That's not sufficient. I have to see, says Rav Yosef, a zecha l'churma. And Rav Chisda goes a step further. Omer Rav Chisda keneged haPesach. Now, here there's going to be a gigantic machlokas haposkim, exactly what keneged haPesach is. The Mekilim say that it could be keneged haPesach when you leave the house. The Machmirim are going to say it's keneged haPesach when you enter into the house. And I have actually seen people are machmir for both shitas, which I think is going a little bit too far. But the basic, well-accepted popular shita is keneged haPesach mibachutz, meaning, I don't mean bachutz on the outside of the house, but I mean on your way outside of the house. So in other words, you enter into this door. If you were to put your head a little bit further in and look up on top, that's where you're going to see the zecher l'churma, which is amal amal. So if you take Rav Yosef and Rav Chisda together, I have no doubt that they want to guarantee that as soon as you enter into this house, you're aware of the Zecha L'Churban. And I would say even further, Dan was pointing out before, and Joe, you also seconded the motion, that maybe the dinim change when I purchase a house secondhand. That makes sense if the halacha is in the actual binyan, in structuring the house, constructing it. And then it's halacha of just a kiyum of Zecha L'Churban. But if it's a constant remembrance, which means that we're worried about shichacha, then I would say it's irrelevant whether it's a first-hand house, you built the house, or you purchased it from someone else. It's got to have in it a mezuzah and a zecha l'churba. Okay, Yechiel, you're on.
That was my point.
Oh, okay.
I was going to go into the circuit, right there.
You know, Yechiel, you remind me, I once hit a home run, a grand slam in Rav Salvechik's class. He had problems with the Tosfos, and he couldn't figure it out. And I said, "Pshat." It took me about, I would say, 30 seconds to present my view. And right away, Rav Salvechik goes, "Oh, I heard you. Then it took the Rav 20 minutes to say it over. And after 20 minutes, he looks at me and says, "Berzon, is that what you meant?" So I said, "Rebbe, that's what I meant, but you said it better than me." All right.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
When we purchased our house in Hamilton, this is many, many moons ago.
Right.
We had one child at the time. Our Abraham Menachem was a little baby back then. And the builder was a Yiddish guy.
Right.
He lived in that house and he built the house. He proudly took us down to the basement.
Right.
Showed where around the basement window there was a big section that was not finished. And we had never heard of this before. And he said, "You'll say if you're a mikdash, you don't finish a house because of to remember the base of mikdash was destroyed." But it wasn't at the front entrance.
Right, right.
The place, no one would see it. You wouldn't know.
So I'm not 100%
sure.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure that's what we're talking about here. You know? Okay.
Here's got to be at the entranceway.
Okay, fine.
But we don't, halacha lemaisa, we don't hold amma bayama, do we?
It should be amma bayama. We'll soon see that in the Shulchan Aruch.
See people's, the front of their houses inside not finish an amma bayama.
Okay, but again, it doesn't necessarily mean, as we'll see, that it has to be unfinished. You know, there may be other ways of creating the Zeich LeChurban, but the Zeich LeChurban should be significant in size. Again, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but if you ask me the question already, take a look on page 3 for a second, and you'll see that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tov Kuf Samach, which is Hilchas Tisha B'Av, Lasso Zeich LeChurban, writes on the second line, U'mishayer Mokom Arma Al Arma.
That's pretty clear.
So that's pretty clear. So it's
not Kenegad HaPesach.
Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that as well. But I'm just saying that my point only is that what we learned in the Braisa, and it was elaborated on by Rav Yosef Rav Chisda in the Sechta Bavah, so that's not just theoretical. That is brought down lahaloch in Shulchan Aruch. So again, we're not up to this yet, but I just want you to see that it's not just, you know, put in a little 2x2 nothing. It's got to catch the eye. Okay, then. So again, there's a lot to talk about. I'm just at the very beginning. I want to point out to you that although we're not going to go through the entire Kesef Mishnah on the bottom of your page 1, but I do want to point out that he says there's an issue here about when Dalet al Dalet is effective. Meaning, to leave a Dalet al Dalet, I'm sorry, I meant to say Am al Am, I said Dalet al Dalet, I'm already in Hilchos Mezuzah. To leave an Am al Am, there's going to be a machlokas, according to the Kesef Mishnah, between the Rambam and the Tur. When does Am al Am, when is it effective? The Rambam writes at the bottom of page 1 that Ein Bonim Li'olon Binyan Misuyin Mechuyar. And then he writes U'mishayer Mokom Amal Ama. It sounds like the Rambam has two requirements. Number one, the Rambam is saying forget about a Binyan Misuyah. That's out of the question. Then the Rambam writes, as a general rule, that you should be Meshayer Mokom Arbal Arba. The Tur is not like that. The Tur, says the Kesef Mishnah, says that you can build a building that's completely, totally Mesuyad, out of sin, pure sin, unadulterated sin, as long as you add Dalet al Dalet. Meaning, the issue here, says the Kesef Mishnah, is how to learn these brisos. Do we see each brisa as a separate, independent requirement? Or do we build one on top of the other? And the brisas, as they develop, are giving you various alternative ways of achieving the Zeich LeChurban. So, for example, we saw that the third brisa is Meshayer Bo Dover Muot. And according to the Tur, that basically trumps the original brisa that says Ein Mesaydin. Yeah, Ein Mesaydin. That's without the Makom Muah that he left on. But if he leaves the Makom Muah, which is Amal Mama, then I don't care about Siyud. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says Ein Mesaydin flat. That's absolute, unnegotiable. In addition to that, says the Rambam, you have to leave a Makom Arba Lama. I mean, the Rambam has two different halachas over here. He has one halacha of Binyan. There has to be a definite kium of Zeich LeChurban in the actual Bnias HaBayis, and that's achieved by avoiding Sid, meaning pure Sid. And number two, there's got to be an Iser Lav of Lotishkach on a constant basis to remind you of the Churban, and that's going to be achieved by leaving behind the Dover Muot an Amal Lav. The Tur is not like that. The Tur understands that all these brises are one entity. And when the Braisa says Dover Muad, it's saying that's another alternative way of achieving the same goal. You don't have to go the first road of Ein Mesaidin. You can go down the second alternative path, namely Makom Dalet al Dalet. The Mishnah Brura, and this is very important, on page 3 of Yamar Makomos. Again, it's here, I'm a little bit tight for space. I'm going to try to spread out a little bit because I don't want to lose pages 1 and 2. But the Mishnah Brura, and I found this as a little bit of a surprise to me, he codifies the halacha like the tour. And he writes, Das HaTur, this is the second of the wide lines in the Mishnah Brura, which is the middle of your page 3. He writes, Das HaTur, Da Filu Sadin Besid, Umitzayrim, even if he builds his house out of pure Sid, and he adds paintings to his house, Nami Mahani Shiur Amalama, leaving an Amal Ama behind as a Zechel Churban is sufficient. V'chena Minog. And he says that he can codify the Minog like the Tur. So that's very, very important. Now I want to point out a few things in the poskim here, which you'll see on page 2. First of all, if you look at the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is on the left column, in the middle of your page, he writes that Mashalo Nagu Kein Atolo Yadanu Tam Bor. He says, I don't understand, why is it that people are no longer being makbid on this halach of requiring a shiur of Amal Amma Zechel HaKurban? That's the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, who is a contemporary of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was Gansvi, and the Aruch HaShulchan is Epstein. You'll take a look, he says, Ulefi zeh yesh lanu lilmod zchus al rov Yisrael shein yisarim bedin zeh l'shayer amal ama kishesodin besid kosei abayis. He says, why is it that most people are not careful about this? Lefi sheyadua sha'ata ma'arvim besid har bichol. He says that you won't find pure sid out on the market. The sid that's being marketed in the stores has an admixture of chol. You know, I would have sued the guy for, for misrepresentation. I was buying Sid. I didn't want to buy Chol. He says, "Came me din gomor ein tzarech shir klal." So again, Aluch Lamaisa, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that if you were Lu Yitzur, you would find a seller who was transferring to you ownership over pure Sid, you would definitely be required an Amalam. If on the other hand, you want to rely on the assumption that the Sid that we're using has an admixture of Chol, then he says, Mi'ikar Adin, you're okay, even if you leave out the Zecher L'Churban of an Amma Al Amma. I was wondering if the Mishnah Brura would accept the Aruch HaShulchan, and now we again fast forward to page 3, and we're looking at the Mishnah Brura, who says that Hainu Oso Amayir below Sidrak Tit Bilvad. Okay, so he has Sid on the rest of his house, but he has an Amal Amma, which is Tit, which is concrete. You know, normally we put the over the concrete, we put the plaster, but he's saying here he left an Amal Amma, which pure concrete without plaster. And then if you skip to the next line, he says, V'hini v'zmanenu lo nagu l'shayer. People were very laid back about this. They weren't leaving an Amma al Amma of pure concrete. Efshar mishum heim somchim ala yesh mekilim. He says, perhaps they are relying on the yesh mekilim, who would say that if you have an admixture of chol in the sid, you don't need a shear of Amma al Amma. And that's what we saw, the minhag is like the tour that it's one or the other.
If you rely on that, of the what is in the sin, that there's sand mixed in or drawing sand practicing, then you've got no Zechra Mikdash.
Right.
Not to look at, oh, there, of course there's sand in there, of course, I remember the, no way. So you've like, you've been Vatel, that if it is a mystery, you've been Vatel.
Right. So again, you can keep in mind that the poskim are just trying to find some justification. I personally think, and I don't know if you feel the same way, that Zecher L'Churban is having a, what's the word, a swing back? What's a, how would you say in English? You know, is something that was out of mode and comes back, you know, like the old ties, the, you know, it's coming back into fashion. Do you agree with me?
What do you mean?
Yesterday, my wife and I were walking down, trying to remember what street it was in Yerushalayim, and we got to, now I remember, it was a hotel, in the Inbal Hotel, and there, you know, there's some very nice art, not art, but Judaica stores in the lobby of the hotel, and the most prominent thing that they were presenting there was a Zecher L'Churban. It was quite large, by the way.
And you put it up at your front door.
And you pay a lot of money for that, but I'm just saying, if no one's doing this, why is this guy, you know, obviously, that's what I'm saying. Now, again, I'm not sure if that particular Zecher L'Churban is exactly what Chazal had in mind, but you know what, I'm happy with anything. You know?
It does the trick.
And it does the trick. So what I'm saying to Yechiel is that, you know, we have to think of these halachas on two, in a sense, on two planes. Number one, what does halacha really want us to achieve? And number two, how can we justify the minhag? So to justify the minhag, we're going to apply the kula of the tur. We're going to say that it's either or. Either you mix into the sid, chol, and like you say, Yechiel, nobody knows the darn difference. Or you put up a shiur of amal amal, and everybody knows the difference. So you and I would say, well, you know, the tour is giving us a loophole and a way out, but the poskim, whether it's the, you know, Rav Gansmid, whether it's Rav Yisrael Kagan, whether it's Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein, they all come along and say, this is the way we're going to defend, we're going to, you know, find, how do you say sanigori in English, you know, some sort of defense. How do you say in English sanigoria? You know, when you want to give some sort of an explanation to justify something that's, you know, not necessarily so perfect. You know?
Rationalization.
Rationalization, right. We're going to have to find some sort of rationalization. Sanigoria, you know, the defense attorney says, well, he didn't know he was pulling the trigger, even though he was killing his arch enemy, but, you know, like... Now, the Mishnah Berurah says the following. He says, "Hare milavnin habatim b'sid levat, v'efsha d'dafka b'minei sid hanikra gufash." I don't know. Is this Yiddish or is this Polish? I don't know. Gufash. It sounds like goulash. I don't know. Gufash. I don't know what it is. Hu lovan b'yosef v'yosef. Now the Mishnah Berurah wants to come up with another justification to somehow rationalize the people are not doing the Zechel of Mikdash, and he wants to suggest that our sid on the market in contemporary times is not white, pure white, like the sid back in the time of the Gemara. And if even if you don't leave a shear of Amal Amal, you're okay. And even if there's no admixture of sand inside the sid, you're okay. Because our sid is not gufash. And only gufash is prohibited. Masha enken sid shalon. The kol zed dochak. The Mishnah Berurah himself admits, this is like putting an elephant through the eye of a pin. V'tzorech iyun al masha nogim heter. So you get the clear-cut message from the Chofetz Chaim that all these kvetch terutzim are exactly that. It's a kvetch here and a kvetch here, but Lamaisa, he definitely would strongly, strongly advocate that we put up a Zecher L'Churban of Gimel of Amal Am. Then he wants to suggest another possible Hatzdaka, you know, justification. This is in a book called Piskei Tshuvas. He says that maybe since we live amongst the nations, and then, again, I can't vouch for this, but, you know, back in the day, Ha'umos ha'yumakpidim al shlemos habatim. Now, I don't know if this was anti-Semitic, because they knew we wanted to leave out part of the structure, or that was the same legislation for Goyim as well. And therefore, he says that maybe that's why people weren't makpid. Now, obviously, in our time, when the government is not makpid, there are no laws that I know of, even in Quebec, that say that you have to complete your house, you know, in a perfect way. Then we should definitely be makpid on being mishayer, amal lama. Then he wants to suggest that our sid today is liquid sid, whereas the sid in their time was much more, what word am I looking for?
Stronger composition.
More of a thicker paste, a pastier kind of plaster. Font. Now he quotes a very interesting tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and he wants to say the following, this is mind-boggling, that if somebody buys a house that overlooks, in the old city, that overlooks Arabayis, he doesn't need a shear of Amal Amal. What? Because he's looking at the Churban in front of his eyes. So what I find fascinating about this tshuva is that normally the halacha works with strict rules and legislations. There is no room for plugtas, you know, low plug. We don't make distinguishing. But here, and this I think supports Yechiel, your position, that let's achieve the goal here. This is a goal-oriented mitzvah. The goal is to remember the Churban. And therefore, if you could achieve that goal by, as I saw that very beautiful artistic piece last night in the Inbal Museum, which costs about $1,000, but you'll see the Churban Abayis, it says Zecher L'Churban, and it even had a pasuk on it, you guessed it, Imeshkachech Yerushalayim. So that already is an achievement of the goal, but the greatest way of achieving the goal is by looking at the Har Abayis. I only have one problem with this. The guy who owns a house that overlooks the Har Abayis can charge an entrance fee. You know, there's a yeshiva called Eish HaTorah. If you want to go up to the roof of Eish HaTorah, you pay the 10-15 shekel. It's going for a good cause. and you get a view of the Har Abayis. I mean, this is like the most beautiful house you could buy in the world. Nobody stands there, you know, crying about the destruction of the Churban. But anyway, that's what we should be doing. We should be reminding ourselves of the Churban. Now, for Sfaradim, you should know that this halach of Zeich L'Churban is very, very prominent. You will never go into a house of a Sfaradi here in this land without a Zeich L'Churban. The Kaf HaChaim, who was here in Yerushalayim, and he was the main posek for the Sfaradim over a century ago, he writes that skula beduka, if you want a skula, that your house should continue to exist up until Mashiach and beyond, is l'shamer es ha'house ha'yidei shiur zeichel l'churban v'nachon beischa ad olam v'chol adorim bo. That not only will your structure live nachon li'olme ad for all eternity, but also your people living in the house will be protected. And this is based on, you know, Kabbalistic writings that our house is supposed to be a miniature Beis HaMikdash. That's the beauty of the Jewish home. And if you have a zecher to the Churban, and you realize that as beautiful as your home is, but it ain't the Beis HaMikdash yet, because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, that invests in the house a certain power, if you will, a supernatural power. And the Sfaradim are very into schoolers, you know. We think the Hasidim are into schoolers. Forget it. Even the Hasidim don't compare to Sfaradim. Sfaradim are very heavy into schoolers. Now, I have another question for you, and this is addressed by the Poskim. Would it be enough if I would create an area in my painted house that's black? And sometimes black is a beautiful artistic, again, if you do it the right way, not just, you know, throwing black color on it, paint on it. And here, if you look on page 2, the Levush says the following. He writes, Nagim Achshav, he says, there's a very prominent, widespread minhag in our time. Shebonim batu sainos sid macharnos okulo. It's a beautiful, perfect sid bias with beautiful frescoes on it. But achakach machshirim amal am. They create a black square of an amal ama b'shichur keneged pesach lo yofahein osin. He's not willing to accept and justify such a minhag. Why? Ki adaraba hashichur hazeh eino meganes habayis. This black, you know, square does not detract from the beauty of the house. Ela miyapo, but rather it beautifies the house. Umisameches halev, and it enhances his joy in the house. Kishar tziurim hanoim, like other beautiful paintings on the walls of his house. And what Chazal had in mind by leaving behind an amal am of concrete, klomer sheminicho kach mikulkol, they wanted to destroy part of the house. Beli tikun, kidei leganos habinyan uleshaber salev. And here again, you see this constancy here that I should constantly have a certain shvira salev. Umitok kach yizkar achurban. He said, I would have written a little bit different. Umitok kach lo yishkach es achurban. And if you take a look in the Elio Rava, which is in the second source of your page, he tells you to find the shalah. And that's the major second source on your page. This is Horovitz, you know, the Shnei Luchos HaBris. And he writes, Mashev v'isi b'chutz l'aretz hamonim bonim batim yosim batim tzuro shchoros merubos amal ama v'kosmin al gaba zeichel l'churban. Wow. The shalom is going even further. Not only did they make a black section, painted black amal ama, they even inscribed on top of it the word zeichel l'churban. Says the shalom, who schok v'hitul b'enai. That's a joke. It's not to be taken seriously. Ki adarab is enoy. It beautifies the house. And he, at the end of this, he writes, Bir osi aminaga rab egolos hamarazem mikishute anoshim abushem tachshitem shemiskashos b'milui kiilu beis hamigdash kain. And the shalah testifies that what he sees in Poland is that Jewish women, again, this is a whole different section of halach which we didn't get to, should wear all the beautiful jewelry from head to toe. That's not allowed. After Churban, jewelry has to be limited. And I've seen women who take off their jewelry before they go to the kotel and things like that, but we're talking about an Issa that applies the whole year round, 365 days. And he says, they're living as if the Beis HaMikdash is Chai V'Kayim. The Avri Adrabbanan, they're violating an Issa Adrabbanan, they have to remember the Churban. Garmin Harbe Ros Mea Umos HaMiskanim. He says, besides that, they're knocking out the eyes of the other Umos, meaning that a Jew who's wealthy should not flaunt his wealth. Now, we think we don't want to flaunt our wealth because otherwise all the collectors are going to come by and they want to, you know, get money from you, right? Does that ever happen in Toronto, that people come by to collect money? Right? How many times a day does it happen, right? So if you live in a big fancy palace, you know, on one of those elderberry streets over there or whatever, then people are going to just come pouncing by, you know, Yom HaValayla. But he's saying something totally different because he's living in non-Jewish anti-Semitic Poland, and when the Polish people see that the Jews are living, you know, like rich people, and the women are wearing all the jewelry from head to toe, you know, that definitely knocks their eyes out and creates a certain element of jealousy, and I'm understating it. In any event, what we see both from the Levush and the Shalah is that the purpose of Zeichel Churban is to be Makalkel Bayis, and those who beautify the Bayis in one way or the other, because they found a way of, you know, circumventing the Halacha, they are not fulfilling this mitzvah of l'shaber es halev, to break the heart. And according to the shalom, what they're doing is schok vehitul. And I know we have to end up, but I just want to take a look at the Shara Tziyun of the Mishnah Berurah, which is on page 3. And he writes, after Chayoda Machmer Gambazem, Mikomkom Nira Diem Limchos Piyada Mekilim Akri Shalio Rabbe Hevi Vishem Aguda Smachla Mekilu Shosim Shachar B'Mokamahu. He says that even though the Chayodam, like the Shalom before him, is Machmer on this idea of, you know, painting an area black, and that should be enough, he says, nevertheless, I personally would not make a big macha about this, a protest. And I would say that those who are mekil, all right, it's not exactly what the halacha would prescribe in the original perfect form, but nevertheless, let them go by. So Rabboso, what we're seeing over and over and over again in the later poskim, whether it's the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, whether it's the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they're all trying to make life easier for ourselves because they realize that we're up against the tough one. You know, people, Jews tend to live in Golus and they get themselves very settled, they build beautiful homes and palaces, and halavai, they should do even the barest minimum to remember the Churban. Obviously, that's not the way we want to do it. And certainly, you know, if a person is a Ben Torah, Ben Ali, and he comes to ask his posek, his Rav, what he should do, he will be highly recommended to do the maximum of Zecher l'Churban. But we're all human, and taking into consideration all the variables of daily life, especially in Chutz Laretz, we're going to try to bend overboard to find every possible kula, even if it means blackening the wall in such a way that it actually enhances the beauty of the wall. Nevertheless, it's going to be acceptable. So says the Shara Tzion of the Mishnah of the Mishnah Berurah. That's what I wanted to get in here under the wire, so to speak.
Garrett Moshe,
he conveyed the same answer on page 4, basically, though? Let me just take a look on page 4 here. With regard to that Amah, and so forth and so on, then he wants to ask, suppose I build a house just for rental purposes to make money, do I have to make sure to put up the Zecher l'Churban? And after asking this question, he writes on the fourth line, Tzarech l'lamed aleihem schus. He says we have to find some sort of way of justifying it. He says that perhaps they're of the opinion that the Amah does not have to be mekalkel the house. This is in the second column, the top of the second column. Gama Amah shetzrichim shetzrichu lehashir eino b'shvil shiganes habayis. It doesn't have to make the bias, you know, repulsive, so to speak. El shelo yeh lovan kol kach, just to make it a little bit less than pure white. And therefore he says that we have all these coolers. Number one, we're going to allow that the sid is a certain lighter color. I mean, I guess you'd say darker color. It's not so bright and light and white. It's ma'ur b'chol. And number two, he says, hu adin k'shiashchiru b'tzeva oso ha'ama. Even if they put up beautiful black stripes on that ama, that also is enough, because it's not, the goal here is not to make the house look despicable. And again, all this is just a kula to allow for finding some sort of defense or explanation for the fact that people are not so makpid about this ama al ama. That's what I see here in the tshuva. Okay then.
Okay.
Read again that major punchline of the Igros Moshe says. that this halacha of amal ama eino mishum de migra hayofi shalabayis elishu leheker sheavinu shebishvil hazechel churban nasis. As long as people understand it was done for the zechel churban, lechen afshem achshirim al yedei tzeva, even though this black is created by paint, kevet shashachus who simala velu, since black in general is a symbol of mourning, yesh lahakil, we could be mezaka, we could be malamit zchus on the rabbim and be mekil. And then the tshuva literature address the issue of tmunos and siurim. Would it be okay, instead of leaving an ama, to hang up paintings hamamchishim es churban Yerushalayim that really present in front of your eyes a hamchasha, meaning a tangible vision of churban habayis, or tlios tmunos kotel hakotel maravi, instead of leaving an ama nama, put up a picture of the kotel, o shetola osam b'tocha amal ama, even if he puts it up on top of the amal ama. That's, he left out an amal ama, but he's covering the amal ama in this case with a kotel maravi. So here we have a gigantic controversy amongst the poskim. If you take a look in the Shut Avnei Yashpe, which I'll have here on page 5, he says it's awesome. However, he quotes the Marsham, who came from the city of Berjan, who writes that, you know what, there is a smach, there's something to rely on in this minhag, and it's not just the Marsham, but it's also in the Piskei Tshuvas. He brings various sources for this minhag in the book of the Archos Rabbeinu Hakilus Yaakov. He writes Mutal Hastir Smokam Amal Ama Berhitim. He says you're even allowed to block the view of the Amal Ama with furniture. Mishum Shadin Shachedet Tzarech Sheyelo Amal Ama Lo Misuyad Velo Ichpaslan Shemetaltalin Yastiro. So he says it's a din in the structure itself. The building itself has an aman alma that hasn't been plastered. That's enough. We don't care one way or the other if it's being covered by movables. And therefore, mistaber, if that be the case, then we don't have to push for amal alma. Velitlos betocha shir otmuna sheyesh ba minyani achurban. There's nothing holding us back from leaving amal ama unplastered, meaning in a concrete state, and then covering it over with a tzir or a tmuna, some sort of a picture that would remind us of the churban habayis. So that's another possible kula that we found within this context of churban habayis. Now, regarding a renter, he doesn't own the house. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, which you'll see on page 3, based on the sugi of Basra, halokeh chotzim misuyedus mechuyeres hareza becheskos ve'mechayven also liklof bekoslim. Meaning, as long as he bought this house, he purchased it from a Jew, he has every right to assume that the Jew set up a zecher lechurban, and you know he did not use pure sid in building his house. And again, even if he buys it from a Jew who in turn bought it from a guy, you know, it's the original contractor or kablan, as we call it, was a guy. Nevertheless, he can, you know, the second Jew buys from the first Jew has a right to assume that the first Jew who bought it took care of the zechel churban. And with regard to a renter, if the owner of the house, there's a tenant and a landlord, if the landlord is makpid that they shouldn't leave an amal ama, Moshe says no. He doesn't have to strip off the plaster and expose the concrete under the plaster at amal ama. That's in the case of a socher. However, in contrast, says Rav Moshe, if he purchases the house, now the ownership of the house is machayev him in kiluf meaning to take off and strip the plaster and leave an ama al ama. This psak emotion is not universally accepted. You should know that the Avnei Yashpa says that since the maskir himself violates the isur of as we called it, of shichas churban Yerushalayim, and he did not leave an amal ama. The socher is obligated to fulfill that, you know, to avoid that isur that was violated by the maskir. And there's no difference between a socher and a lokeach, whether you purchase the house or even if you rent the house, you have the identical obligation of setting up an amal ama. Again, the building is already complete, but you could be kolev and chip away, so to speak, or strip away at the sid for an amah's worth. But he says, if the maskir will not allow him to do this, which is very likely, then he's potter. Then the socher who's renting it is potter, because he cannot be mekalkel a house that's not his. And even if the maskir, the owner of the house, gives him permission, but he requires that in the place that he makes the zechel churban, he must paint it when he leaves the deer. In other words, the maskir might allow the socher to expose an area of one amah by removing its paint, but on the condition that when he returns the house at the termination of his rental agreement, he must return and paint it again the second time around. He said, in such a case, maybe we could be mekil, because you know it's going to be a real major undertaking and a hassle to find the exact colored paint and paint it again and live up to his contractual agreement. In such a case, we might even allow him to leave the house as is, and we may actually exempt him from the chiyuv of ama al ama. Now, when people build houses, homes, you know, kablanim and so forth, and they sell those homes on the open market, are they obligated to leave an amal ama? And here, Moshe has a tshuva in which he says, no, they're not obligated to do so, they're potter. And the buyer will have to fend for himself if and when he's ready to fulfill this obligation of Zechel Kurban. So that tshuva, Rav Moshe, has to be understood, because we would have thought logically the kavlan who's building the building is obligated to see that there's a shear of amal ama. But Rav Moshe's understanding that since he has no intention of living in the house, he's not obligated. And therefore, if he's not obligated, he has every right to complete the siyud on the house without leaving an amal ama. Let the lokeach worry about it. Now, the Bir Halacha paskins, like the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadim, that in synagogues there's no obligation of amal ama. When I say synagogues, I mean Bati Knesios and Bati Midrashos. But Rav Reuben of Rehovot, who's quite famous here in the land of Israel, he quotes a Minchas Elazar, who reinterprets the Magen Avraham, and according to that interpretation of the Magen Avraham, there's an obligation of Zechel Churban in a Binyan Shel Chol, but not in a Binyan Shel Mitzvah. And therefore, one could argue, says Rabbi Avraham Rubin, that any Binyan Shel Tzibur, we call it Mivneh Tziburi, for example, a school or a wedding hall, all these cases would have a chiyuv of shir amalam, because they don't come under the category of binyan shel mitzvah. So once again, Rabbi Avraham Rubin is of the opinion that even public homes or buildings or structures require shir amalam. The only exception is a binyan shel mitzvah. But a binyan shel mitzvah would not incorporate in its schools, for example, and there would be a chiyuv shir amal ama in schools. In yeshivos, on the other hand, or a Talmud Torah, which is a binyan shel mitzvah, there's no chiyuv to be meshayer zecher lechurba. Now, if you take this chiddush of Rav Reuben back to the explanation of the Magen Avraham, the chiyuv of Amar Amar is on Beso, meaning Beis HaKnesset is where he lives, and that's the exclusion of a Beis HaKnesset, which is not designated for living purposes. That seems to be the reasoning of the Magen Avraham. Then you cannot possibly accept Rav Rubin's insight, because even any sort of public building, even if it's not Lidvar Mitzvah, and we mentioned a few cases before, nevertheless there would be no chiyuv of Shir Am Al Amah because it's not Beisol Lodurbo. If the Mechayev is Bayis Shedorimbo, these public schools, etc., etc., are not obviously not designated for Dira, and therefore they would not engender the chiyuv of Amal Amah. Okay, Ravosa, I think we'll end here with a tefillah yiratzan that a kosh baruch shi mezakos shibana beis hamikdash b'meir v'yemenu, and instead of remembering the churban, will exist and live a life of total joy in the beis hamikdash, close to the shechina, b'meir v'yemenu. Amen.